us off?
Start us off with what? Start us off with
welcome back.
Welcome back. What day is today?
It will be
3 days after the 4th of July or something like that.
No, it's week six after that. But when everybody's listening to this, it will be Tuesday the 15th of July.
Well, that's too big a math for me, but it was a lot.
This is
4th of July.
Great 4th of July.
Spectacular.
This is episode 34 of the Slide In Podcast. I'm Braden Anderson. That's Kelly Yell.
Kelly.
4th of July was great. Yeah, we filmed podcasts.
We got inebriated at the concert. Was that the 5th of July?
That was the 5th.
That was fun too.
Yeah. Yeah, the concert was great. It was the Madison River Music Festival, is that right?
Yeah.
Something like that. It was great. Reckless Kelly was the band, which I found to be.
They were fun.
Kind of ironic.
Yes. I have the t-shirt. Reckless Kelly. Mel got it for me 100 years ago.
Oh,
Reckless
yeah?
Kelly Girl Band. Yeah. There weren't any girls in it, were there?
No.
I don't think so. I was that drunk.
Different band?
Yes.
No, they were good. They were
awesome. Tanya's boyfriend, Tyler, put that on. Him and another guy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Which, by the way, you know, you forgot to tell me how dashing I'm looking. Just got a haircut.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Tanya, trends.
I was saving that. Yeah. Trends.
Life's
salon.
Too short to have an ugly haircutter, stylist, hair barber, whatever the hell they are.
Tanya's the
yeah,
best.
Yeah, go see Tanya.
I think she cuts everybody at the Slides hair besides
yes.
half the hippies who don't get haircuts.
Who? We still have a hippie?
Chuck, Kyler.
Oh, yeah.
Chris.
Yeah.
Matt.
She cuts Chris's hair.
Every 3 years.
Yes, it was a blast weekend. I hope everybody had a great
if I had Chris's hair, I wouldn't cut it either.
We had a super, yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
Fabio.
Yeah. All right, so let's jump into some stuff here. We've got a couple housekeeping things to take care of, one of which was a comment from, where'd it go? Big Whitetail Dreams. Says, what makes Wayne mad? I assume his name's Wayne. 33 pods and still haven't referenced Charlie Brooks. Kudos to the shout-out to the jerky guy in pod 32, Jim. Jim's a great guy. You've mentioned Jerry Dennis 30 times in 33 podcasts. Never given him a plug. This guy is world-class. The guy's
how
a world champion.
How can I not be giving him plugs?
Okay.
Jesus.
Said, Jerry's a second only to Jim Harrison as the best writer ever from Michigan and beyond. Jerky isn't better than a book. Show a copy of A Place on the Water. So, real quick before I want to ask Kelly something, but I wanted to plug Jerry Dennis's website, which is jerrydennis.net. He's got all his books on there. And I believe that there was a minor...
just so you're curious, I'm in many of his books. Jerry's one of my best friends in history. Anything derogatory written about anybody in any of his books is me. Usually called out by the dumbass Kelly Gallup. Jerry was so instrumental. When I was writing Modern Streamers 1, Jerry rode the boats.
We got a Scotty Hall in here.
We got a Scotty Hall doing that dance thing.
And apparently our front door wasn't locked.
No, he got a key. But yes, he has got, I don't know how I could plug Jerry more. So there, here's a plug for Jerry.
Yeah. And go check out his books. And I believe I read a little bit about some dispute between his old publishing company and Amazon or something. So he's got his own new publishing company. Go buy his books.
Yeah, Big Maple Press. He did.
Yeah.
He did. Well, Jerry did. Not that I don't barely know Jerry. He was the editor of two of my books, and he published. And Big Maple Press did my last book.
Oh, okay.
And we barely know each other.
Yeah.
I must really don't plug him enough.
Barely at all. Yeah.
But
so.
I would.
Big Maple Press.
Different types of styles of writing between him and Harrison, and I like Jerry's better.
Yeah.
I'm just not. I don't know. I don't know. Legend of the Fall. That's pretty hard to beat. But yes, I'm sorry if I didn't plug Jerry up. And I have not plugged Charlie Brooks. What was that?
Yeah, when
I
Charlie get back. Brooks.
Charlie Brooks. What was it? There's more of the rant. What was it? Jerry. I appreciate that with Jerry, though, because I love Jerry. And
that was pretty much it.
So Charlie Brooks, I don't do Charlie Brooks style of fishing. And so, but you could argue that Charlie Brooks is tight line nymphing was precessed every predecessor to everything, predecessor to all of it. Three good words. They were like, I gotta get some more coffee going. Yeah. Just think about having a beer with this one tonight, but I gotta go fishing later. So I get some really great words. Nobody gets better words drinking than Jerry. Jerry has an entire vocabulary. Jerry Wilson. Big Jerry.
Yeah, okay. He's got his own vocabulary.
I hope somebody, AI or somebody, picks up on it because it's pretty good.
He does. Jerry is an absolute genie. he was in our Hunt for the 30, if you guys want to go watch those. Jerry is just an absolute beauty.
So, but the Charlie Brooks thing, I call out Joe Brooks endlessly. I'm surprised nobody writes and tells me how much I call out Joe Brooks because everybody's got a hero, you know? And so, but Charlie Brooks was, you know, he's a big fish hunter all his life and very much here in this area. But it's a different style, a completely different style. I did it when I was younger. It's more of a swingy thing. And they're just different. It's just a different generation. He's a little, I mean, he's got great books. His book on Yellowstone is spectacular. I just don't fish his style as much. It's not that I'm not paying homage because I don't like him or something. I just don't do his style. I don't do a lot of people's styles, you know.
That much is evident. All right, well, yeah, so that's the Jerry Dennis plug. Hopefully Wayne is happy with that now. Look at all the stuff we do to keep our folks happy, huh?
Well, that's important. I liked that one because, and I think Jerry had just had a new book. No, he did a re-release of one. I called him and said, hey, how do I get this book? Well, you already have it, but I'll send you the re-release.
All right, next.
Jerry was the first guy, that one quote we always say, seldom right, never in doubt. Jerry's the first guy ever to say that to me.
Gotcha.
And he knew who actually said it. And it's some, I think, I'm sure it was a general or a president, was president after he was in the military. So I remember him saying the name.
The gist of it's the same, but I've always heard it as often wrong, seldom uncertain.
And
the
first never time, heard it. The first time I like I ever Jerry's heard version
that,
better.
Well, the first time I ever heard that was my dad talking about my youngest brother.
Yeah, well,
he's very.
I like him better than you. So
yeah, most people do. Next on our housekeeping laundry list is we found the guy who did the sculpture back there for Kelly. His name is Paul Barmore. On Instagram, he is Big Sky Flies. He's got a cool Instagram. It's a lot of working, metalworking stuff.
Back check there. Out. Very cool.
Yeah. So thanks for sending that over. That's it's really neat. The third housekeeping list is a special edition of What Braden's Pissed About.
Who cares?
Me. I care. I am pissed.
You made it up.
I did make this up. I am pissed at the one individual in likely Cambodia that tied one of the flathead kitties that I purchased from our store. For the first time in the thousands of streamers I bought from here, I had articulation wire pull out. And it was on, not a giant fish, but it was a nice fish. But I more just felt bad that I left half a fly in a fish. You know, I had it up to my feet and was pulling on it, and all of a sudden, pop, I was really confused. It was a feeling I'm not familiar with.
I think I've had two articulations break, but I never had one pull out.
This one pulled out clean.
Mine all broke clean.
I've had them broken from bashing rocks and stuff.
Long time ago since I've had one fail. But one of them was mine. I mean, I tied it. Yeah. And one was the barely legal when they first came out. And when Rainey was still tying them, and it didn't, nothing happened. I think I just used the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And something's got to give. That's too bad.
Yeah. So that's
you can never talk again. You just talk shit about my fly. So
sorry.
And now some Cambodian's going to get caned for it. So I hope you feel good about yourself.
My bad. Don't worry about it. It felt really good for about 10
seconds. I'm sure J9's going to be calling any minute and say, listen to this. Somebody's getting beaten.
Sorry. All right. Well, then let's jump into what is Kelly pissed off about today?
There's some asshole in the valley. This happens every year. Happens frequently all around, maybe everywhere, but down here. And I don't know how to combat it. other than just hiring people to kill this person who's slashing tires. There is a mindset with those son of a bitches. I mean, I truly would just find him and hang him off a bridge and let him kick to death. But
yeah,
because the other thing, those pieces of shit, because they caught that kid up in Missoula who did 400 plus
slashing tires.
Yeah, they
at
caught him.
Ramps or where?
Yeah, yeah. It's and this one's doing out of state. But what the fuck does that mean? What is an out of state? Everybody's from out of state 150 years ago, for Christ's sakes. So all of a sudden you're going to just hit the guy who's got a car, who maybe's lived here longer than, I'm pretty sure I know who the guy is that's slicing them too. He doesn't live here. But the other thing these pricks do is they, and they got to have really little whacked jobs, you know, they must have just tiny little things. They lift the pins on the trailer hitches.
Yeah.
Now imagine you're running down the road and your fucking boat comes off and it breaks off your chains, because those chains are never strong enough to hold the boats. And it careens out of control and takes out your mom and your little sister. And you pull them off yourself. Now, it's this stupidity. I really think we should just get a big fund together and hire about five guys, snipe them, find it, and just take them out and leave them dead. That's called vigilante. I love it.
Vigilante.
This
justice.
Son of a bitch could kill innocent people.
Maritime law.
They're lifting. It's yeah. One thing to slash my tires. But on the other hand, maybe they don't go down until I'm going around a corner and boat pushes you to the next lane. You hit a bus full of kids. But you lift the trailer, you know, you don't check your hitches or you don't lock them. That was big last year.
I locked my hitch.
I don't. I did last year when it started happening, but, you know, kind of like to live in the land of the free. And
the land of the trust that not everybody's an asshole.
Yeah, and it's not everybody. It's one or two, but. Yeah. I just wish, I don't know.
So this is
maybe
good
if
PSA.
Somebody wants to hunt this piece of shit, I'll put up the first 5,000. You take.
I think we're approaching kind of muddy legal water here.
Is that kind of bad?
Yeah, I might.
Okay, I lied. I won't.
I'll redact that.
But what happens after the first really big accident when a boat comes up and goes in and gets somebody? There's a boat going off.
There's hell to pay, that's for sure.
I mean, then what? We're going to say, oh, he's. Then somebody will say, well, he must have problems. We wouldn't have if he was dead. So problem solved. But I just think I don't know where people get, the thing that gets me is this freaking state thing. Like Montana, I've been here 3 generations. I don't give a fuck, how do you know where you came from? You got shot out at the end of the same thing all of us did. And there you are, you're born somewhere. So you're gonna give shit because somebody moved here. I moved here. Everybody moved from somewhere, yeah. Right? And some of my best friends moved from California. They're people.
Yeah.
But who? So you're giving a random judgment like, oh, yeah, well, this must be a cow. He must be an asshole. Be your best friend, you stupid fuck. And then, but what bothers me is that the potential for catastrophic disaster, you know, when somebody's boat comes off and goes across that road, and these roads are so busy. We're on highways. We're on the interstate. And that boat goes over and takes out some innocent kid or somebody's wife.
Yeah.
I mean.
Or somebody.
Somebody. Yeah. I mean, just, oh, my God. And somehow it just keeps happening. And nobody's caught him yet. And they do. They should just eliminate.
Yeah, so it's a good PSA that if you're in our valley here.
Not just ours. It's the other kid. The kid in Missoula. You know what he said? He said he did it to right all the wrongs people did to him. Look at a 19-year-old kid. How much fucking wrong can happen to you at 19? I mean, you're gonna slash, is it 400 or 600 sets of tires? But they did catch him. Of course, nothing happened. He probably went to some, you know, I got hurt when I was a child. Tough shit. And so, but it's tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Not to mention, what if you had a kid, what if you had somebody fell in the river and they're going in shock, and you get there and you can't get them to the hospital. There's just a million possibilities that could happen because you're an asshole. And again, it's not our fault you were born with one that big. Go back in your basement.
Go back in your mother's basement,
oh
probably.
Oh, God, why did we say that?
I mean, good PSA. If you're at our, you know, anywhere, I guess this is really just good practice anywhere. Check your hitch pins.
In particular, if you have an out-of-state plate in the state you're fishing.
Yes.
And the other thing this jackass is doing Is he setting tire? There's all kinds of shit. There's a bunch of
roofing nails
underneath tires. Yeah. Stick them underneath there, which is the best of the thing because that's not going to, your tire's not going to go flat right away.
Yeah.
You know, it might not go flat for a long, I've had nails and tires for months and, you know, but it's still just check your hitch pins. That's the one you can live with a flat tire. You got to change it. Yeah. Although that prick was doing two tires.
Yes.
And, but the hitch pin on your trailer, put a lock on the son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And if...
True Value, Ennis. They've got...
Yes.
I mean, any Cody. Any U-Haul store anywhere yes. has those little
padlocks.
They're
like six freaking dollars yeah. and you just...
I got
but don't do like one of our guides, I won't mention Jordan's name because she's a great gal, who puts both of her keys... Did you hear that? Jeremy gave her the... What do you call those things? Traps, whatever the... Rod vaults.
Oh, yeah.
And lost her keys and both the keys for the robot were on
the same thing.
Yeah.
It's good to have
sorry,
two key
Jordan.
Rings.
I didn't mean to. That's,
sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
We love you.
Separate your key rings. That's good. So is it, I didn't actually hear that story. She got rods.
I just heard it today from Jeremy.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jordan.
Sorry. Right. We love you.
All right. Well, yeah, that's, I think, a very reasonable thing to be upset about or pissed off about.
And quite frankly, that happened in Michigan, too.
Yeah.
I remember, on the Big Manistee, I remember it was happening at, in particular, I think it was at Bear Creek. I can't remember for it, but somebody was going around doing it. We never did catch them, but it's not just us.
Yeah, just go.
It just seems to be really excessive this year or the last few years.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like we said, we think we know who it is. Stop that. Not cool. Go get one of those Swedish pumps and make your thing bigger. Maybe you'll be happier.
Did it work for you? No, just kidding.
I've got three of them. I'm still trying to find ways to make that work. All right, this next question. Thanks for that. You know my mom listens to this?
Your mom's hot.
Just kidding. She doesn't listen to this. Thanks for that
but
as well,
beautiful.
Kelly. She's a lovely
Your dad's woman. Handsome, too. What happened to you?
Maybe. All right, well, moving on. Thanks for that, Kelly. An asshole. John.
Ouch. I never use words like that.
John the Gun. 5753 says, hi, guys. A question. I think this guy's European, and I don't know how much conversation we're going to get out of this question, but I sure liked reading it. It made me laugh. Hi, guys. A question. I tie streamers next to my day job. I sell them direct to fishing buddies or others that are interested and to some stores in Europe. Now I got an order for the sexy dungeon, but that is your design. So I think your intellectual property. Are the sexy dungeons and online stores all tied by you guys or people affiliated with you? How does this work? So I wonder if you give us a little background on kind of the commercial tying, you know, how it works. I know Nate just went through designing his frog.
Yep.
Just kind of run through that stuff. I find it interesting.
It is an intellectual property, and although there are pieces of shit like Catch that knock people's flies off. It's worst company. If you buy flies from them, don't, because they're just stealing. And it's a matter of how you feel about it. If you don't mind intellectual property being stolen, then great, you know, move to China. But Catch in particular took even our photos and put them in their catalog. And so how it works, and no problem calling you out. I think you're total dirtbags.
But I'm familiar with them.
Oh, they're... big catalog, and they literally took our flies right out. But how it works, just so you know, so Braden has this fly.
Don't use me as an example. I don't tie.
That's right. So here comes this fly, right? It's right here. Well, this is, I don't even know who gave me this. I think Nathan did or somebody.
Do you have one of his frogs back there?
No, I don't think so. It doesn't matter.
Every single fly.
It doesn't matter if it's the first prince nymph, the first hares. It doesn't matter. But when you submit a fly, so this one, this is my TNA bunker, but it's done with some a little bit different. So you would submit this fly and say it's mine. Well, the first thing you're going to do is look to see if it's, no, that's really not yours. It's Kelly Gallup's. You just put some more shit in the side of it, right? Mm-hmm. So, or it's Charlie Craven's or whomever. You know, Mike Mercer, Mike probably had as many flies knocked off as anybody, and he was so ahead of it. He was so much better than most everyone that it was easy to see it was a Mike Mercer. So, but that's just on the fringe. How it really works is I submit a fly. Where's that Zoo Cougar? I just had it here. My very first streamer was a zoo cougar. I know, I had one sitting here a minute ago. And not knowing, I don't remember where I had it. But anyway, so you submit a fly. You tie this fly and you call, you know, I work with Montana Fly Company, MFC. So I submit this fly. This one here is going to go in and I say, you know, take a look. Let me know what you think. Well, everyone on earth submits their fly and says, this is the greatest fly in the world. And they write this big, long thing about how all their friends caught it. Doesn't mean anything. Everybody thinks their fly is the greatest in the world. So you submit the fly, they look at it, and it's a team of people. They look at the fly and they say, yeah, we can see the application. No, it doesn't look like Charlie Craven or Davey McPhail's fly. Yes, it's unique. And yes, we think we can sell it.
They should hire Johnny for that job. He knows every fly that's ever been
They
tied.
Call him frequently.
Perfect. Yeah.
All the time. The reps call him all the time. Yeah. Do we have this fly? But you look at it, and it's got to make several criteria. First being, it's not a knockoff of someone else, mm-hmm. other than those other pieces of shit, who they just flat knock your fly off. And so then they look at it and say, is it too close to somebody else's? And then they look, is it too regional or something like that? Like, they have to be able to sell. Now, so you know, they're all tied overseas, right? Everybody's flies are tied overseas. Mine are tied in Cambodia. So they go, they look at it, they say, okay, yeah, it's a unique fly, and we see the value, it's going to fill a niche of this or that, and then they say, okay, and then the reps look at it. And the reps look at it because they're the ones that come to my shop and show me the new flies every year. Well, actually, they show Johnny. I get to sit by the side and go, can I have that one?
So, in the kitty chair.
Johnny picks it. So we sit there and we get, okay. They say, yep, I think I can sell this one. And then there's a number. And the number is random to, it's not random. It's
watch your mic there real quick.
What's it doing? Okay.
They look at the fly and they say, yeah, we can sell 500 dozen. Mm-hmm. Right? Or whatever it is. It's a number. Sometimes it depends on who the tie. Like my flies go in, they know I'm going to have a certain amount of follow, and it's going to get, no matter what, it's going to hit a whatever, 500 dozen or whatever, and it's going to go. If it's a new tire, they may be limited and say, we'll take a chance or whatever, because, you got to get, just like I did. When I first started submitting flies, I had lots of rejected flies. And so they said they just didn't think they'd work, right? Or wouldn't sell, especially in the beginning of streamers. And so now imagine trying to say you just invented a Perdigon. So what, did you do a different color of freaking flashaboo?
Yeah, mylar.
Yeah, it's like, oh, great. And it's got a brown head instead of a black dot. It gets really hard, yeah. Right? Because now you submit one and the funny thing about fly tires, when your ego's a little bit in there, you go out and you fish your fly that you invented. You fish it a lot, right? You want it to work. Mm-hmm. And that's why with our flies, we don't let them go out for at least a year, if not two. And the guides, you have to fish them. Guides, Johnny has to fish them. Whosever fly it is. And we get a year of saying, okay, yeah, it hunts. And
it's data points, right?
I've said it 100 times. I've had way more flops. I've had half of the flies that I've thought this is going to be it. And I fished the living shit out of it. And Johnny fished it. Johnny's not as nice as he used to be. He used to give it a couple of weeks. Now he's going to come back and say, piece of shit. or it works. And that's, but we make everybody fish them and we test them. And so, because we know they'll go through. But in the beginning, when you take that sexy dungeon or whatever you called it, I get people call me, and I know Charlie does too, Craven, and where they call and they say, listen, I've got, and I've never said no to anyone. They say, listen, I've got a, in dungeons particularly in the first 5 years, guys would call me and say, hey, I got an order. Like Richie Strollis, right? He ties, that's what he does for a living. He ties flies.
Yep.
And people order dungeons. And, he called me up. Do you care if I tie this? I said, hell no. He goes, I'll give you your royalty, because that's the kicker. We get paid you get a percent of every fly tied, mm-hmm. right? Every fly sold, just like any other business in the world. And so you get a percentage. And Rich knows because he has flies. He's an MSC too, you know.
Yeah.
And he says, I'll give you. I said, I don't want my freaking royalty. Your fly's different than, it's your style. And I've had dozens and dozens of young guys call me and gals and say, can I tie these flies? What should I pay you? That's big time respect.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that's
and
cool.
And that's that person that isn't a hoverer and doesn't slash tire.
It's a great, it's like this guy, being, John the Gun.
Yeah.
He's asking
yeah. a question. He's across yeah. the seat. What could I do about it anyway? Right? It's a respect thing, just like anybody. It's like submitting a fly that you change the color of something on.
Right.
It's still Charlie Craven's fly, you dumbass. It's mm-hmm. still a Fat Angie.
Right.
You just change the thread. And so that's how it works. So you submit it. If you get picked up, for every fly you sell, you get a percentage of that fly, and then you build on your name. And then we all started exactly with one fly, and then we just move forward. And so you go and you do that, and then you submit it, and you get your royalty. And then if usually you see very few one and dones. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a handful, and there's some of them that are just spectacular. I can't think of one right now. Johnny could tell me in a minute. Guys who submitted one fly ever in their life, and it's just a knock it out of the park thing,
the fly that right? works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when the Water Walker first came out.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of Will's
Will Dornan.
First flies, right? Yeah. That was like super known for Will. He could have just stopped. I mean, that fly made some serious cash. But it's getting harder nowadays because there are just so many great tires submitting.
Well, there's so many
and
great
there's so many flies. There's a point where when this fly came out, when this is a great example, when the TNA bunker back in the 90s came out, no one had ever stacked hair like this to make a head, mm-hmm. right? There was no such thing as this building. And so this head goes out, the dowel eyes come out, and man, it takes about 3 years, and here it comes in a bajillion. I invented this. And then there used to be, like, I remember once there was really a new tire coming in, and he submitted a fly that was much like mine, but it was all synthetic. And they didn't want to tie it because it looks too much like a dungeon. I've never done one synthetic like that. I didn't do that. That's not me. It was Cheech's.
Like, fish is entirely different.
It completely different. Yeah. It was Cheech's. And it was like, no, it's nothing. It's his. It's his style. I said, And I said, it's not any dungeon. It's articulated, but everything's not. And so it gets to be kind of a tight pause.
Sorry, FedEx. We had a minor interruption. We're back.
So just to be clear, you submit it. It gets picked up. You get paid for it. And so that becomes your intellectual property, and you should not knock it off. And, you know, asking is fine. By the way, if you're asking for my permission, go for it. I appreciate it, but I don't think that's not mass producing a fly.
Right.
You know, if you're a tire, I mean, and, you know, you can do that and make a living at it. And imagine Davy McPhail, you know, my favorite tire, arguably in history. Davy ties flies for, in particular, Atlantics and steelhead flies and D's mm-hmm. and so good at it, right? Well, some of those flies are 100 years old.
Yeah.
Well, there were no royalties, I think, started with the Black Brothers. And I can't remember somebody, Jesus, I think it was in like 84. And it was Mackenzie Fly and then Umpqua K, and they started paying royalty tires. Uh-huh. But I don't remember what year. It's somewhere in that zone. It's a relatively new concept to mm-hmm. our industry. And so you get it. And so then if you're a commercial tire, I mean, just show the respect. If it's Charlie's fly or who Richie's or whoever, don't put your name on that fly. Just say, this is Rich Strolis's whatever fly, but you tied it, and that's fine. That's not what anybody's getting. I like a lot of, even my own dungeons, the way they're tied, I don't tie them quite like that. Yeah. Mine are much, my heads are broader. I frequently don't put eyes on mine, but it doesn't matter. You got a style. just don't put your, and I don't think you'd have to ask, if it's a nationally produced fly, I don't think it's really protocol for you to say, call every time you're going to tie a fly. I don't know. Maybe if you're going to tie somebody's fly, call them and ask them if you feel like it. But that's not what we're worried about. We're worried about the dumbasses like Catch who actually physically takes exactly your pattern and puts it in their catalog, and it circumvents the person.
I think Big Y does that too. I think they have a fly called The Dungeon, and mm-hmm. it's exactly
yeah. Well, I mean,
a dungeon.
Well, that's what I was saying.
But it's not MFC.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When they took this fly, so they used Bunny on it, yeah. Right? I think this is really cool looking. But it's Bunny instead of Marabou, which my first one was stacked Marabou, just like the. Actually, it was Palmer Marabou, and then a single stack. But it's a TNA bunker. Yeah. I don't care what you do. There was never this head in the history of the world. This is my head. I invented this head, right? Yep. Period, end of discussion. Unless you can come up with one before 1980-something. That's what the tires do. Mm-hmm. Like the clink hammer. No one had ever done that. I don't care who says they do it, because everybody says, oh, I did that 20 years. I don't think I've ever had a fly. Shit, I'll bet somebody said it about Halliday's from the Adams. Oh, yeah. I've been tying that for 100 years. Sure you have.
Yeah.
Well, you're too late to the party because it's here, right? Mm-hmm. So when you, if you're just going to tie it, you're probably not going to tie 500 dozen of them. You're going to tie a dozen or a half dozen for somebody, great. And then if you feel like you should call the guy or gal, whoever, go ahead. But that's not what anybody's worried about. You're not stealing my intellectual property. But put the person's name on it that tied the fly. And, you know. And you got it. And then if you just do a slight adaptation to it, it doesn't make it yours.
Right.
It doesn't.
That's an interesting dynamic. It's sort of a daunting predicament for new tires that, you know, were later to the game than you were in terms of trying to come up with their own patterns. Is theoretically there's only a finite number of patterns out there. You know, unless new materials are invented, new mm-hmm. hooks and stuff. But even then, it adds so many variations, right? And so I was thinking about this just now while you're talking, like, you know, when the West was claimed, right? The initial chunks of land are massive, right? People are going homesteading these huge ranches. Well, now, you know, you have a ranch that's sold off, and it's sold off into parcels, and the pieces of new land are smaller and smaller and smaller. It's kind of the same thing in the fly fishing world, right? There was somebody who did the first deer hair streamer. And then, you know, you do your dungeon, and then what's his name does the D&D.
Tommy Lynch?
Tommy Lynch, yeah. Tommy Lynch does the D&D. And then there's these new styles of deer hair flies, and then there's subcategories of those. But eventually, the only subcategory left is going to be changing colors, right? Like, you're going to run out of materials. You'll run out of styles. But theoretically, there's a finite number.
You're getting close to it.
And with the number of people doing it, somebody's likely to have done it before, even if you didn't know. And, like, I think that's the frustrating part. I think Hunter ran into this when he was trying to submit a fly, is somebody had tied something really similar before him, and he didn't know, right? Like, Hunter invented that fly. He didn't steal it from anybody. But there's so many people out tying streamers.
Well, if you're fishy at all, we all think a lot alike, right? I mean, when you look at water, when you look at a fish move in water, when you look at a mayfly swim through the water, there's people who, Mike Mercer was just one of the first ever to, like with his glass bead butt caddis, right? Different. He was in another mindset than we were.
A quantum reflection, leap, if you will. Yeah.
And it was totally original. And all of a sudden, they're coming out everywhere. Well, I just put one back here. It's still Mike Mercer. You know?
Right.
There's these great minds. But at that point, so once you have that, and you've only got a finite amount of material to pick from, too. And then you find the people who can adapt a material, or they just simply use it, like, for example,
that fly on top of the brown trout. What he did with those feathers in the head.
Yeah, to layer that. I've never
new
seen
and original.
Yeah,
right?
Never seen. Yeah. I don't remember. I feel bad that that's such a cool fly.
Yeah, super cool.
We'll take a picture of it. Yeah, with yeah. But it was a style, and it was completely, it was during the COVID thing, because that's why I was thinking about bringing it back, because of shit like this. But when you look at this fly, I had never seen anybody kind of, when you look down it, I'm showing the fly as we,
got it.
As you're here, do this side so you can see underneath. And so, but you, when you see this, it's just a, it's a resin based fly, but it's,
just do it. Working on my head.
Come on, pick up the pace.
Blaine Apple, Tim Cook.
Never heard of him. So, but CEO. When you look at it, nothing else is unique, but the, so there is a style of head, never seen, I don't think. And again, there are some freaking giant egos in this industry. And in fly tying, there's some whoppers, right? That just like, oh, I did that 30. I hear that. God, all my life I've heard that. I did that 30 years ago. That's cool. The Zoo Cougar. I had a guy tell me that nice knockoff of my fly. And it was not a good moment. There was a lot of people around and shit hit the fan. It's a sports show. Hmm. And one of my reps said I stole this fly. He fished a dry Hornberg with a piece of mallard on it and said that I knocked a Hornberg as a dry fly. Mm-hmm. And he said the Cougar was a knockoff of his Hornberg. First of all, it wasn't his freaking Hornberg to start with.
That's right.
A, you know?
Yeah, yeah, there you
and
go.
And it was like, you know, because now you're starting to, now you're stepping on toes, you know? You're just, unless you've got, and it's one thing to say, Hunter tied a lot of flies for as young as he was and designed a lot of cool flies.
Tons.
Nathan, a lot of cool flies. And they, but the, again, they're kind of knockoffs of a Dungeon or a TNA and a this, and it's right and close. That's why you submit the fly and they're, you know, 5-6 people look at your fly and say, pretty damn close to this.
Right.
Right? Well, at some point, they're all going to be. There's a whole series in... with this style of head, which, by the way, started in a vertical position, and then I did the flat liner, and they were all on the side. And then I saw in one of the catalogs an entire series that just took a flat liner and changed the name, right? And it was like, it's kind of cheesy because I used to work for them. Right. And they still did it. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. You can't keep it all forever. But the thing that's bad is when you put your name on it, but you're never going to get well, unless you go to those rats at Catch, they might do it, but you do that thing and you submit it to somebody, yeah. And they're going to look at it and say, you know, it's a great tie, but it's Charlie Craven's,
yeah.
You know, and you know, he's already done it.
And I think that's what I'm getting at is why it's so daunting for a young fly tire who wants to, you know, create
it's
their own
daunting
patterns.
For me.
Well, there's.
Yeah, I do this for a living.
It's so hard to come up with something truly original anymore, and everything's got a name on it. And like, I know that was tough for Hunter when he thought he, you know, yeah. Had that fly. And I could be misremembering
this Hunter's fly. You can't see for those of you not watching, but I'm trying to come up with the world's simplest crayfish that does something else. It's on a keel hook. It's absolutely stupid looking. It just has nothing going for it. Mm-hmm. This thing's going to have 10 adaptations before I get it to it. Every day I sit down, today I put another piece on it. I take it out, its legs do what I want it to, it swims right, it's on a keel hook, it's going up and down, it's doing different things. It's not even close. It doesn't matter if I go catch fish on it.
Right.
It has no bin appeal. It's the ugliest fly you've ever seen.
Yep.
And so, but it might work.
Right.
Right? It might work. That feather fly that I don't want to call anything, I don't have one in here, that we fished the other day. When it was Johnny, and I kept switching off of his yellow because he knew that would work. It's a concept fly. If you stop looking at fly as from a designer's perspective, from my tip to you, if you can stop thinking about making layers and making a pretty, if you can start thinking, can you make a fly do something other flies don't? My minnow pattern is a dying minnow pattern. There's never been, it's bodiless, right? Nobody's done that. It's a way to make something do something. Larry Dahlberg, arguably, if he would have stuck in the fly world, would have had, was the first guy when he did the sliders and the divers. Genius.
Yeah.
Genius. Oh, yeah. I mean, and then stopped. Shit, who knows what he could have come up with later. But what most people do is they say, well, I want to, that, you know, dungeon works really good. And so I'll just put, you know, three beads in the middle instead of two. Or, you know, well, do this. Think about what, how the fly moves in the water. That's what I do. I don't think of any of that shit that's around it. I look at the fly, mayflies, don't care what it is. What can you do to make that move differently? That's what Larry Dahlberg's genius was, making a fly go down and back up, and then his slider that would go side to side, yeah. Right? Well, he did it, you didn't, tough shit,
yeah.
Right? All of anything you do that does a sliding head is a Dahlberg diver, period.
You're late to the party.
Yeah, and it sucks to be that.
Yeah, the brutal reality.
There's a lot of smart kids on computers, but they didn't think up Google, yeah. Right? They didn't think, it's just the way it is. Yeah. And so, but very few tires look and say, how do I make it move differently? Make the movement in your head first, what you want the fly to do. I don't care if it's a swimming mayfly. I don't care what it is. Is it a fluttering caddis? Does it do something different, right? And try to build motion into your fly. That's the still, the articulation thing was huge for getting more movement out of a fly. But I sure as hell didn't invent it. I don't know who invented it. It was in my second book, the second streamer's book. We have that 1954 Advanced Herder's fly tying page. There's a freaking triple articulated fly in there. Three of them. It's like, shit, you know. Guess nobody thought, who thought of it before that? I don't know. But there's a movement theory, right? And that's what everybody gets hung up on, making one that looks like, it's just you're gonna have a hard time making minnows to change things.
Yeah.
But you can make it do something differently. And then if you think that, once you get that, for me, this is how I design. I say, I want a fly that does this, right? I want it to go this down, and then I want to pick it up. And remember that you're the one that does this. You're the one that animates your fly. I don't care if it's a dry fly. I don't care if it's a nymph. And then a sidebar to this design, I'd give up on the whole Pertagon shit. You're going to have a hard time to change it unless you're going to change it.
Right?
You can take a Duracell and a blowtorch and a bullet and a Pertagon. They're all pretty much the same damn fly.
Yeah.
So and they're all made to be static. Now, hoppers, there's a lot of room in hoppers. They're coming out. They're so cool. Think movement. Think, what can I, it's a dead drift mayfly. You're going to have a hard time finding something to change. But if you're thinking, I want legs that kick. I want that girl that did that. What's her name? Damn it. She is so freaking good.
She ties flies.
She ties. What's her name?
I don't know.
Gorgeous gal. She makes tying look sexy.
I found another
she's
one.
She's so good.
That makes tying look sexy.
I don't care. She's the OG. But that girl did that frog, and she did her crab, and she just completely quits with the whole knocking off a fly, and she finds a new way to make things move. And that's what I do. I look for things, how can I make a fly do something that not necessarily has never been done? Maybe you do it better, but
Erin.
Erin. Erin?
Erin.
Oh, she's so good. And she, but I mean,
she got a website, sheetiesflies.com. Go check it out. It's really well done.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Rat hole. Down, you watch for hours. You're mesmerized by that. Shakes beads out, and they look cool. I'm just like, wow, how'd you do that?
What's it called?
Yeah, I know. You said it on one of the
nail tappy thing.
Yeah, it was just really cool. But
it like taps into the human psyche.
When she did the frog with the, putting the springy action to it.
Yeah.
Jeez. So, this, I don't know if she's the first, but I think she was.
What this reminds me of is a book I read in college for an entrepreneurship class called Zero to One by Peter Thiel, who is the PayPal founder, or one of the founders of PayPal. And his advice to young entrepreneurs, which is not entirely different than young fly tires and this dynamic, is don't improve upon, but disrupt. And like I would consider you to be a disruptor of the fly fishing industry, the way people
think. That makes total sense.
Think about fish and how you make, you know, you're not trying to make a fly better. You're trying to solve a problem of a lack of, you know, you don't see the movement in current flies that you want to see, right? So then you developed flies to make that movement. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I like the disruption thing because don't improve it.
Yeah.
If it's going to get improved, and that, you know, and I'm sorry if I'm beating the same dead horse here, but I know I've said it another once. Just because you take Cheech's fly or Kelly's fly or Charlie or Dave, whoever it is, Richie Strolla, I don't care. And you say, I'm going to put a wool head on it. Man, there's got hair. Honestly, you really don't think we tie for a living. You don't think we've tried that? You know, usually materials are put on a hook, at least in people I know well, for a purpose. And usually, very seldom in my own, if ever, other than maybe the Zoo Cougar, did ever the first iteration ever go to complete. That's it, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, nah, didn't quite. Maybe I'll try this. So probably by the time it goes submitted and goes to production, I've tried most everything on that fly, that particular set of, you know, legs, wings, you know, body, whatever. I probably went through a bunch of them trying to, because very few flies start in the vise, hit the water, go, damn it, home run.
Perfect, yeah.
Yeah, I hardly get a bunt, you know, it's like, shit. Yeah. It's
like, well, might strike out looking.
But it's why I'm as old as I am and I still love tying. Right. I still love to sit here. I don't love tying so much as I do sitting here and just trying to, you know, how can I make something do it?
Would you say it's the creative part of it or the problem solving?
Both.
Both.
It's fun to, that's the thing about our hobby. We get to play with a lot of fun stuff, right? Yeah. It's like you get to, like any artist, they like to do, you know, whatever medium you paint in or whatever, you know, you're a sculptor, it doesn't matter. It's just like, it's just the fun part of it, you know, putting the pieces together and see it go out, and, yeah, it worked, it didn't work. But if you just try to improve on something, you'll never get there by trying to improve on Charlie Craven's Fat Angie, right? It's a very unique style. It's there. Disrupt it. That's a better way to looking at it, where you go, well, you know, tie it sideways. I had a whole series. This was a, want to know about a flop? I had a whole, and it was Jerry Dennis and I, by the way. It was Jerry Dennis and I on one fish that we had fishing on the Manistee River, and that son of a bitch would not eat a drake that wasn't going tail first. It's under this giant sweeper. River's going down, obviously going downstream, but we're on river right, which for those who don't know, river right, right or left is the direction, if you're looking downstream, whatever side you're on is river right. We're on river right, giant cedar sweeper coming off river left. Flies only would get eaten with their tails going downstream. We sat and watched it. I went home and tied this fly, which you can't see, which is a brown drake. I tied this fly on a hook, knowing, mind you, it only works on one side of the river. But I tied this fly, which you can't see unless you are watching, but it's a brown drake, and I tied it perpendicular to the hook, right?
Yeah.
So here it is, great. And the first cast, and if you know Jerry, ask him. And I think it was Jerry Wilson, Jerry Dennis, and I. And this, but it, we, this son of a bitch, not a giant fish, like a 16-inch brown. But he outsmarted us to death.
Right.
And you couldn't get above him. There's just trees everywhere. And you didn't have a lot of room to cast under that tree. Tried that fly perpendicular to the hook, and then it went tail first down. Well, if I got to the other side of the river, I'm screwed, because it's going head first.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I put a lot of effort into this stupid hook, and I got the fish, right? 16-inch whopper. Great for
there you
me.
Go, yeah.
Never found a spot where I needed it again.
Right.
Right? But I could have gone and said, oh, look at all these new things. It was the greatest week because we were fishing, you know, got to go back, tie this fly and get it. Okay, I got to get back and find this fish and get it. And there it was. And we get it.
That's
problem
awesome.
Solved. It was a blast. But, you know, somebody say, well, do a curve cast. Oh, I'll take you there. You can show me how to do it. You know, but it's and it had an eternal drift underneath there. It was great. It was such a fun time. But that's a problem solved.
Right.
But it didn't change anything, right? Yeah. The clink hammer, that changed the way people looked at things. The clink did. And, you know, the first Perdigon.
Yeah. Yeah,
what the hell is it? You know, well, it's Perdigon. Great. They ate the shit out of it.
So I remember hearing about a guy who, in Europe, who was fishing just beads on hooks. And they're eating the shit out of them. I mean, that's... it's not necessarily outstanding fly tying or anything, but it's that experimentation and
we did that reward. On the bighorn when I took red gommy hooks because I'm sure they would eat anything.
Yeah.
And they ate the shit out of the hook. Yeah. And I put a red bead on it, or a black bead on a red hook.
Clobbered it.
Yeah. It
didn't what's my favorite line of
didn't
yours?
Didn't really figure anything out.
Yeah. Do you know my favorite line of yours?
No.
We tend to give fish a lot of credit when we can't catch them.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
They're not that smart.
Yeah. And well, you know, the guy that invented Roman Mauser, I believe, is the guy. At least he gets credit for the first beadhead, but he originally just ran him down his leader. Yeah. And it was competition grayling fishing, mm-hmm. as I recall, and then put it on the bead. I remember thinking, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. Wrong. Yeah. What a surprise. It's not like, being wrong isn't really a surprise to Kelly. It's not like a S smell. But yeah, so I mean, to go to that,
kind of, so,
and I'm going to show you this. This is the OG. I don't know if we've showed this or not, but just as a thought process. So this fly that you cannot see.
By the way, new sticker online, slidein.com.
Looks like the rest of those Grateful Dead shit.
It is.
So you're going to take a picture of this thing?
Yeah.
I'm going to show you this thing. This was the OG. I've tied this thing in about a minute, as fast as I could. You got to turn it around. And so... And I'm going to have, this is going to be a series of flights because it was so far, I think, it's so far been really successful.
No, keep holding
it. But it's not going to have this red thing on it. It just has a dot. And the idea of this fly is it on a keel hook and it has no body. It's just a wing, right? Just wing in the head. But I wanted a fly. And you, when you design, when you think about your fly design, remember who makes the fly and what makes the fly move. So, and then remember there's certain physics. You are static. You are connected to the fly. And the fly doesn't just go down and do this because you will it to. Something has to make it, and it has to bend your leader. And so this fly, I wanted a fly that would get absolutely flutter in the water, but I want its head to go down. And then because if it goes down and I pull a little bit, it goes up, I can make it wiggle in the water. And so I took this fly, and this, I've got it in a bunch of colors. I think I have a picture of it. And this one, I put a bee down here, and I wrapped red thread around it really fast. And I was like, because I frequently will tie flies like shit. And I'm in a hurry. I got to get that concept to go into my brain. It's good. I'm good. I mean, there's a lot of autism in Kelly. And it's... it just is. And it's like,
you said it.
Got to have it done, right? Got to have it, get it done. I get it, boom, and I'm done. Okay, now, and then I can relax and I can tune it. And I showed it to Chuck, and he goes, you know, if you'd have put that bead up higher, it would have hovered more. I said, thank you. I'm trying to get it not to hover. And so that's what the point of it was, right? So there's a bead at the bottom of this, and it drops, and you can't help it. It just keeps dropping.
Yep.
Every time you touch it, it goes up. Its head does because it's got a broad bunker-style head. Every time you pick it up, the water catches it and kicks it sideways. And the feather just keeps back there fluttering all over the place. Absolute gas fly to fish on a floating line.
So fun.
It is such a fun fly. Yeah. And it does shit. And they're eating it. They're, you know, I've had really good luck. But I haven't had good enough luck to say it's going to be a series.
Yeah.
But it was a fly that was designed to do something I've not seen done. Lead eyes don't do it. It's not enough. There's too much bulk on your base of your fly. The body materials are too thick. Nothing lets it dive. You think it's diving, but it's really horizontal. It's not doing shit. Very few of them actually dive with their heads down. And I didn't want a heavy fly, and I wanted a pretty indestructible fly. This fly is the OG, and I fished the shit out of it. I don't have all those other ones over here. And we did them with all the feathers that we did with MFC. So I did a rainbow, a brown trout, all kinds of shit. But it has nothing to do with the colors and nothing to do with all that feather stuff. It has to do with, did the fly move? I wanted it to go down and flutter sideways. And I knew if I get that broad head, as I picked it up, it would get caught in that current and it starts doing that slide thing. Pow, 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 pow. You get to move it all around. It's just like, it's crazy looking. It's not like any other fly I've ever had, right? But I didn't go into it thinking, I'm going to make something with a feather. I want it to look like... I wanted something that I had no vision in my head whatsoever other than I wanted the head to go down and get twisted, knowing when I pick it up, the fly goes straight down, you pull the line, it comes up, but it's not going to come up straight. It's going to get caught in the current. It's going to slide like that. So it's going to come up, flip, and it's going to do weird shit.
Good one to fish on a swivel.
Hmm? Yeah, I suppose. I haven't had it twist.
Really?
Okay. No, I haven't had it twist. Wouldn't matter. Put a swivel up above if you want.
Yeah.
Just throw some beads down on it. Attract them. But it's some guys' theories were to put triple beads on there so it clicked in front of it. And I never bought into it. But it's just, it's a concept thought process. It's like everything has not to do with, I'm just driving this point as hard as I can. Think movement. Don't think improve a sex dungeon.
Right.
If you do, great. If you come up with something, great. I have probably seen 200 variations of a sex dungeon. I speak all over the world. I go, I speak and I go to places all over. For 20 years, that's all I've done. And somebody will show me their adaptation to my fly or Charlie's or anybody's, right? I'm like, yeah, it looks really cool. And I've had lots of dungeons, in particular the dungeon, that I like way better than mine.
Yeah.
Right? Just way, maybe a different forward body. Dr. Petruzzi did once with this black and blue looking chenille up front. Oh my God, kicked my ass, just crushed. It was so good. But that doesn't mean you just put a different color paint, you know. It's still putting lipstick on a pig, still lipstick pig. So you didn't change anything. So if you could think, and I would give Tommy Lynch credit for that, in a respect, I still think it's a diver head, and I think there was stuff like that. But the way he flanked side and then back on top, on the back one, which made that fly just do some really stupid looking
crazy
shit.
Crazy stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he did it.
That
I didn't
was
do it,
original.
You know? Yeah, it was a thought, but it was on purpose. It was because the flanks were on the side of the front and the back one. So it's doing, it's ruddering in two
directions. Think anybody who's ever come up with one of these, you know, disruptive, revolutionary ideas does it from a place of, I want to make something new. They do it trying to solve a problem or trying to
get a fish to bite it.
Well, yeah, exactly. But like, you know, and maybe not, maybe doing something new is not the accurate description. I don't know if you know what I mean.
You know
like,
what?
They're not trying to invent a new fly. They're trying to solve a problem.
Like right? A Lady Caroline. Every spay fly in the world, you know, there's a place where like, you know, I absolutely love Deck Hogan's blends of colors. But there's a lot of fly. There's a place where you can say, well, everything's an offshoot of, you know, something, right? But you change colors, and there's a spot where I could say, you know, no one's ever done that, and it's cool. It's still Lady Caroline, or it's whatever it is, you know, Fantana, whatever it is. But there's a little more, but you don't get them accepted still. It's just like, but it's your color combo,
right?
Like that chick Erin, she could. Probably, and girls are so much better at colors than most men, in particular me. I mean, they blend things, see things. Dex are superlative. His are so good. And Varikta, I mean, his stuff was like so. But at some point, that in that world, it's always the same. Until, like, you think of some of the dry flies when they came in and joined it and stuff started happening. There was room for improvement, right? Mm-hmm. And then. But at this point, like you said, it's going to be really hard if you're putting two hooks together or three, it's going to be really hard to find something that's, unless you think I'm going to make it do something physically different. Until you do that, I think you're going to have a really hard time breaking out of the flies that are here currently. It's going to be really, really tough.
Yeah, and you know, it's sort of Debbie Downer-ish, but. You know, should have been born earlier.
Yeah, tough.
I mean, it's tough ditties, right?
Exactly. That was a long one.
Yep. You want to do a quick break?
No.
All right.
Well, I might get more coffee, but you can ask me a question.
All right. I'm trying to think. We're kind of close to the end, so I didn't think we were going to get a lot out of that one, but That just goes to show how
we
much
might not
I
when you
know.
Get done editing it.
Hey, I don't cut anything. Well, I might cut the FedEx guy coming in, but
Scotty Hall do it. What's that Scotty. March called about the bear when they do that? Ouch.
The what?
Scotty came in doing that Grateful Dead thing.
The dancing bear?
The dancing bear thing, yeah.
I didn't know it was a march or anything. I mean, I didn't even know that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
No, that's
there's some name for it. But he came in and...
Man, I like the Dead, but apparently not as much as I thought I did.
I don't know.
Dead, see? Creepy. On the shirt, slidein.com. Did you see that shirt Kyler made today for the huh? for Riley?
Yeah, for Rick Sauer. No, Rick and... No,
the kid's name is Riley. Dead.
Riley Sauer.
Sauer.
Rick yeah. and Riley.
Yeah. And I'll throw the photo up.
11. I took a picture of it, too.
Yeah, I got it.
11 stickers on one shirt.
Hey, we've never seen that before. That was yeah. His whole goal was, I think he said, quote, put as much shit on it as you can. Kyler did a good job. First time in his life.
That's rude.
Sorry. He deserves it. Love you, Kyler. This one comes from C. Erickson. Says, hey guys, absolutely love the podcast. Been an avid fly fisherman for 30 plus years, but only recently really got into fishing streamers recently after coming across your podcast. Fortunately, not a lot of large brown trout in my local rivers here in Central Oregon. Go Eastern. But I have been having a lot of success hooking rainbows using the same tactics. One thing I've noticed is that most of the takes are later in the retrieve and many just swirl on it and don't eat it. Any tips on getting them to eat it? Currently using a 9'7" weight floating line, 8 to 9 foot leader, and a number 2 conehead woolly sculpins that he ties exclusively. Thanks so much for your consideration. Tight lines. First thing I got to say, personal note, I can't stand tight lines. I hate tight lines. I don't like when people say it to me. I don't like hearing it. And that's just me being a crotchety old bastard, old man yells at cloud kind of thing. I don't like it. You guys do you. I don't
Why
like it.
Why would you bring that up?
I don't know. I just don't like it. I'm sorry. It's a great question. And
Why
something.
Why like that?
What's that? With you?
It's so mean.
Yeah, well, I'm.
Why do you pick on something?
I'm just an angry guy.
Half the books in the world were signed tight lines.
Yeah, no, I hate it. I can't stand it. It bothers me.
Close lines. Okay, to your question. I think we were trying to figure out the swirl and the miss thing. Is that it?
Yes, yeah, essentially.
And the fact that you said go to Eastern.
Not necessarily swirl and miss, but he's saying, I think he knows that they're not eating it. I don't think that he thinks they're missing it, but why would they follow and not eat? And I was actually curious about asking you the same thing. I just went on a little brown trout tour. I moved so many fish. I talked about it a little bit on the Missouri in last week's episode that would follow it, not eat it. And I feel like I've just been in, I don't know if it's a law of large numbers thing or the type of day where they're just not that bitey. I've tried the classics, which there I'll say what I did after you give your spiel on the
things
you should
try.
I'm
going to say you've heard it 100 times. First of all, dumb creatures and curious. They are very curious creatures. There's I have found bottle caps. I found the old. You know when they had the cans that had the ring and you popped it? I don't know what that was called. You know what that's called? You know, it's just a, it's all right, you pull the ring and it comes out and there's a little.
Yeah, I mean, there's still like soup cans and shit.
No, just on a pop can.
All right, it's I was just born small. In 97, so.
Well, they're out again. I see them. Really? You just pull the ring and it pops and it leaves this little oblong thing that you drink out, but there's the metal on top of it.
Oh, I have found tabs.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, the soda, I found that in a trout. You know, mounted a trout that had one of those in it. Mm-hmm. I have found a bottle cap that had been twisted over and all the paint was off it. I don't know if it was off when it was twisted or if it was just gold because it was in the fish's stomach.
Yeah.
They're curious. They're just, they eat a lot of shit. They, you know, I've talked about that study up in Alaska about rainbows and Chinook. There's a kid that used to come in the shop and how they did a study on, I think, they were like 12, 14 inch fish. I can't remember how big they were. But they mouthed 94 or 96% of all particulate that went by.
Yeah, sticks, weeds.
Didn't matter.
Everything.
In and out. Hundreds of seconds. Doom. In and out, in and out, in and out. Anything that didn't offend them, they ate.
Yeah.
Right? And so... But they just do this. And the grayling, it was grayling cutties, or grayling Chinook and rainbows. And they just mouth. And as most of you know, I've been a taxidermist since I was 20 or something, 1920. And I have seen more shit in fish, cigarette butts. I mean, just name it. It's been in there, right? They just mouthed it and ate it. Why they'd eat that popped up, I don't know. Because it seemed like it'd be pretty, but maybe they just committed. I don't know. But they're very curious. And so, hence the fact that if you're locked on a river, let's go to dry fly game for a minute, because it's July, it's rules week, and I'm fishing this tonight. I'm going to be fishing a, you know, Red Fox 1960 version. They haven't seen that on this river maybe in 30 years. Mm-hmm. They eat the shit out of it, right? They've seen a lot of stuff, but they're curious, and it doesn't ride how it's supposed to. No fly rides up like that in the front end, and it just doesn't, and they eat the shit out because they're curious, right? But if we fished it every day, I'm sure they'd shy off of it at some point too. But they're curious animals, and I always have said this in 100 of these things. It does not look, no matter how realistic you think this fly looks in the water when it's wet, it does not look real. And they make it, you know. So I always tell people, change your cadence. If they're coming on, if they're following it, and you're going fast, go slow. If you're going slow, go fast or jig. Change after the second or third fish does the same freaking thing. Change something, and it may be the fly. I don't know. Generally, when a fish will follow a fly, it tells me that that part's kind of close, right? And then I'll change to something that looks like it, but maybe it swims just a little less or more or whatever it is. But that's all you can do. There's a curiosity thing. Those days are seldom super aggressive, wide open, here I come, and then stop. It's
very slow.
It's falls. Always inspection. Hence what I say, I try to go really fast when I see it because I don't want them to get any more inspection time.
Yep.
And I try to get it away from them.
Yeah.
But that doesn't always work either. Yeah. Nothing always works. I mean, it doesn't always work with crankbaits.
And I think on that point, every day is different in terms of how the fish act.
Yeah. Right?
Like there's days where a fly lands and they'll go 15 feet to blow it up. There's days where they want it really slow in their face. There's days where they follow it. Yeah. I mean, I've noticed recently where I've really been paying attention to how fish eat flies. I've had days where they come up and they mouth it and shake it and let it go before I have a chance to set the hook.
I have lots of those.
And you see it, but it happens so fast. Their reactions are so much faster than ours, at least mine. No wonder I'm not playing pro ball. That they bite it, shake it, and before I even have a chance to move that fly, it's out of their mouth and gone.
Yeah.
And then other days, they simply just eat the thing.
Yeah.
So it might just have been
Everybody wakes up on a different side of the bed.
Yeah.
And there's all the other shit, the barometers and all that pressures and all the things that I don't think it really affects trout too much, but everything has some bearing on everything, I suppose. But for the most part, I wouldn't call it moods, because I think that comes with being spoiled little bitches like we are.
Yeah.
I don't think people have moods. I just think there's something that the curiosity is just struck. You've rose it to a level that they're going to inspect your fly, but then you just didn't sell it. And if there's something else, we don't know it yet. If they came there, you do something, but we very seldom change. You kind of get locked and you kind of, oh shit, there it is. And then it's really hard to say. One thing I would say about, I hate that striper retrieve with the rod on your hand. I hate that thing. And I've done it lots. I mean, but there's been times in lakes in particular where if I'm going to do that and I keep getting those follows, I rip that sucker. I mean, just as fast as I can. And really small movements, as fast as I can move my hands back and forth that rod. And sometimes that triggers things, right? But I've also fished with some of the best walleye guys and Billy Erdman, you know, trout guys, with gear and watch them get the same damn thing.
Yeah.
I've seen them, muskies, you know, what makes a muskie turn off or turn on? What when you bring a muskie in and you start figure eight and cauldron it big sweep and you're here and 3 minutes later the thing is still looking at you like going, right?
It's part of the great question.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
Hopefully we don't. I mean, it would suck if we do, then all of a sudden did.
Yeah, then it's just no fun anymore. Yeah,
so I don't know. But I just, my 2 cents worth is just change anything. It just don't let it happen twice. If it happens 3 times, then shame on you. You know, it's like you should have changed something. But it's really hard. In particular, was there a joke I missed?
No, there's a great comedian, James, oh God, what's his last name? He's an Australian guy, and he does this joke about, you know, shame on, or fool me once, shame on me, or shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, fool me 3 times. You're clearly dealing with a struggling individual. Yeah, and then exactly. Shame on 4 times, you've fallen into my trap. And goes on and on and on. It's great.
And that's true. I mean, so just...
James McCann, I think.
Try changing. That's all I've ever been able to successfully change. And I trust me, nobody figures this out all the time. I don't care what guide, what superstar angler I fish with. It's like, shit, it's one of those days. You know, they're just not committing.
Yeah, and it's just one of those
no
days.
No one's got this secret. Everybody says they do. But when you fish with them, they don't.
Yeah.
And it's like, what happened? I don't know.
I mean, that day on the Mow, I think I did 38 fly changes. And that was 38 flies I had out after. And I put on the same flies multiple times. So I don't know how many I truly did. I had so many follows. And it, big shit, little shit. I mean, slender,
curious
wide, thing. Dark, light. I mean,
slow,
I went through everything I could possibly think of.
And I've had days where this happens where I go from full-on burning bait fish to slow jig and crayfish and have them do the same inspection.
Yeah, no, so that's what I was doing, here. Right? I fished crayfish. Yeah. And then I had a day a couple days ago where, same thing, a lot of like, it was a different kind of bite that day. It was very reactionary. Slap down and they'd blow it up, but they wouldn't eat it. They're turning, you know, they're going out looking at it and turning it away really fast. Very inspection, but rapid. And I put on a Nancy P and I got a couple fish. You know, it would land and the move was entirely different. They don't rocket to it. They get in right behind it and follow it, and then eat it. And just, you know, I didn't get a ton of fish to do it, but I got a couple. That was good enough. All right.
By the way, this fly that we showed.
Yeah.
I am so embarrassed that I don't remember. Johnny would know in a minute whose fly this was. If you see it and you know it's yours, write me so I can stop feeling like an asshole. But I remember all your flies were all so spectacular. But
yeah, I mean, he won some of the kill the crown stuff.
Yeah, he should have or did pretty close.
Yeah.
But
comment if that was you.
Johnny will tell me.
Yeah.
But I forgot. I'm all old. Right. I get a bye.
Let's wrap up because I've got to go change my laundry, which I just remembered, and then I'm out on an 8 a.m. flight
tomorrow. I've
had a chicken
in the grill since I got here.
Oh, Lord.
Beer can't hurt it.
Let's see. Band of the week. What you got?
Three Dog Night.
All right, I'm going with the one and only Pink Floyd. Saw that cover band up in Bozeman a couple weeks or months ago. Yeah.
Never a Floyd fan, never a Bowie fan.
That doesn't surprise me too much, but if you're in the right mindset,
then don't do those things anymore.
Man, they rock.
Now you're going to ask about back here.
Oh, yeah, what you got back there?
Oh, the stick. Nobody's seen this. This stick was back here forever. Behind that, this was Jerry Wilson's. This is a steelhead.
Nice.
We're on the Dean.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're blown out or we're just bored. And he carved me this thing. He goes, here, shine. That's my nickname, by the way. I don't know why it stuck to me.
That's
because
awesome.
I called my cousin a dick shine once, and then I became Shine.
Dick Shine.
This is such a dick shine. And the next thing I know, I've got a coat with my name on it. It says Shine. But this was a steelhead from the Dean that he carved for me.
I like that. That's nice.
It's a very slender.
You're thin. Not well fed.
It looked like a wild fish to me. So...
All right. Thanks, folks.
Appreciate it.
Oh, one more thing real quick. John dropped off coffee. He came into the shop. Yeah. Super nice guy. Chat with him and what I think was his brother for a while.
This is coffee for soul.
Yeah.
We keep getting all these presents. Yeah. They're cool.
Yeah, he said it was coffee for soul.
This is the green chili guy that did the jerky, right?
Yeah, Jim.
I ate some of this. It's really good.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Usually that shit's too hot for me, but that one's just like...
No, it's good. It's the right amount of spice.
Never too hot. It'll take a little.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to like dip a cracker in it, you know, some of that stuff where you're just like...
If you wanted to be a glutton.
Yeah. But I liked that shit.
That was good stuff.
Cool. All right. Thanks for watching.
Thanks, folks.
See you next week.